marriage is when a man and a woman become as one. The problem begins when they try to decide which one. Someone asked a husband, well, a couple, they have been married for over 50 years. They asked the husband, "How do you do it? What is the secret to remain married this long?" The husband replied, "Well, first, you gotta be very patient. Second, make sure you take the woman, you take your wife, and celebrate each anniversary. Give her something." So the guy asked the husband, "What do you do for the 25th wedding anniversary?" He said, "I took my wife on a vacation to China." "Oh, wow, wonderful, that's beautiful. What do you do for the 50th anniversary?" "I went back to pick her up." Marriage is not easy. For all those who have been married, you guys know. One more, if you allow me. The wife said, she was complaining. She said, "My husband cooks for me like if I'm a god. He places before me burnt offerings every night." Again, marriage is not easy, and those who are married know better than I. I'm married to the church. Someone once said, the secret for a happy marriage, no one knows. That's a secret. The secret for a happy marriage, no one knows, remains a secret. Why am I saying all this? All this is connected to what Jesus is telling us today about marriage, this covenant, this union. But I find it fascinating because at the beginning, God is telling us about marriage, and then he goes back to Genesis, and we heard that in the first reading, the covenantal union that God has established. What God is doing here firstly with the Pharisees, but sadly at the end also with the disciples, because when they get home, they ask him the same question. In the house, the disciples again question Jesus about this matter. At the beginning, it was only the Pharisees because they wanted to entrap him. It was not just a test, it was a trap. But again, at the end, the disciples. But Jesus goes back to Genesis. The point that he's trying to highlight here, the point that he's making, is not that he's not talking about the interpretation, but the intention. Not what they interpreted as marriage, but the intention that God had, what God intended. And this is what we pray for today. We pray for marriage, for the sacredness of marriage, for this sacrament that has been set aside by God. That was his intention, especially in this society, not only in this nation, but worldwide. This society keeps trying to redefine marriage. In the book of Genesis, it says Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That confusion. And this is precisely what Jesus is talking about. Not what was interpreted, but what was intended. Because as we continue to go on, society, the world will continue to redefine, to reinterpret. But as followers, as believers, we have to ask ourselves, to question ourselves, is this what God intended? We need to go back to the sources. Again, that's why Jesus brings us back to Genesis, to remind us not to forget the intention that God had. A man and a woman in marriage sharing this sacrament of love, this covenantal union imitating divine love. At the end, he says, "Bring me, let the children come to me." They're not really getting the point about marriage. The Pharisees, the disciples, but then he says, out of nowhere, "Let the children come to me." And the point that he wants to draw here is that in order for us to understand and to abide by the intentionality that God had, we have to become like children, not to behave childishly, but to be pure, to be innocent, like a child, in order to understand God's intention. If we don't do that, then we will abide by what the world is saying out there, by whatever interpretation the world gives us, not by what God intended since the very beginning. And this goes for holy matrimony, this goes for the doctrines of the church, this goes about defending life, being against abortion, this goes about promoting the gospel of life. This goes about the sacraments that we have, Holy Mother Church, about all the things that God has for all of us. The intention, the original intention, we must be like children in order to understand, but more than anything, in order to remain faithful. The children came to him, he touched them. We're talking about the laying on of hands. The priest, when I was ordained, the bishop laid his hands on me as a sign of consecration. And I do that every time you go to confession. If you're behind the screen, you can't see me, but we always do it. When we give the absolution, we impose hands. We lay on hands on you. The power of that, to touch, because we have the intention, the authority that has been given to us to forgive sins, to absolve sins. So again, in all of this, God wants us to be like a child, not to question, but to remain with him. With this, I'm not saying that we should not question the things that the church is saying, but if questioning would leave us away, will take us away from God. And if in our questioning we'd get closer to the world's interpretation and not to God's love, then there's a problem. We're no different than the Pharisees and when the disciples doubted as well. As we approach this holy banquet, excuse me, we ask our Heavenly Father to help us to give in to him, to give in to his love. And that's what marriage means. The definition of marriage, the dictionary says marriage, to give in to marriage. One flesh. We need to give in to God. We need to give in to the intention of God, to follow him. It doesn't matter what the world is telling us out there when it comes to the holy sacrament of marriage or any other teachings of the church. If we want to be authentic believers, if we want to be true missionary disciples, we must be like a child. Our task as married people, single, whatever vocation you find yourself in, our task is to go out there and challenge the world. To go out there and tell them, this is your interpretation, but this is God's intention. One man, one woman. You are killing so many babies out there because it fits you. It's easy. There's the easy way out. That's your own interpretation, but this is what God intended. This is what you think about X, Y, and Z when it comes to faith and morals. This is what the truth says. This is God's intention. This is our mission. This is our task. If we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves Catholics, And this is why we're here, to be strengthened, to be nourished by this blessed sacrament, so that we do not hide the truth, that we do not water down the gospel in order to please people. That's not our job. Our job is to please Him, to give Him the glory. And we do that by loving, by forgiving, and by telling them, this is what I believe. May God bless us all. Please stand.